This is Alive with Joseph.
The power of gratitude, number two. I've come to discover that the faithfulness of God is His character. The faithfulness of the Almighty God is embedded in His character. And that is what has kept Him consistent throughout generations. Generations come, generations go. The Almighty God has remained consistent for the simple fact that His faithfulness is His character. He does not have faithfulness, He is faithfulness. So His faithfulness is His character. And that makes it, you know, that you can lean on the account of God's faithfulness. So it doesn't matter what happens around you. You can trust the faithfulness of God in any time, in any season. And we can see, as we look around us and the things that are happening and the events happening around us with all of the pandemic, you can see that Satan is raging in the nations of the world. You can see in the nations of the world the rage of Satan. And the Bible tells us, in the midst of all of this rage, you may ask, what is God doing? The Bible says, this is what God is doing. Psalm 2 verse 4. He who sits in the heaven shall laugh. So God is busy laughing at Satan's madness. Laughing at him, throwing tantrum all over the place. He said, the Lord shall hold them in derision. So God is not mourning as we speak right now. He is laughing at Satan. And this should increase your confidence in God and cause your gratitude to pour out without measure towards God. Why? Because no matter how Satan is raging, your heavenly Father remains faithful, is still very faithful, and will continue to be faithful. And you can always lean on His faithfulness. Why? Because His faithfulness is His character. Now, a lot of believers have a bitter spirit towards God. And that is beginning to explain why the limitations they are experiencing in their lives. Now, when you create an atmosphere of ingratitude, this is what it will do to you. When you create an atmosphere of ingratitude, number one, it will choke your faith. Number two, it will cause things around you to die. Number one, it chokes your faith. Number two, it will cause things around you to die. Anything that comes around an atmosphere of gratitude, of ingratitude, dies. I repeat, anything that comes around an atmosphere of ingratitude dies. So child of God, in this season, maintain a posture of gratitude. Find issues of thanksgiving in and around your life. When challenges arise, I'm not saying that you should pretend as if the challenges are not there, but I want you with an attitude of gratitude, lift your voice before God and say, God, I know that you're in charge. Make up your mind that you will keep a posture of gratitude, an attitude that says that God is in this thing. I don't know how is God going to pan out, but I know that at the end of it, God will have His praise out of it. An attitude that sees God in everything. Listen to what Job said in the book of Job chapter 13 verse 15. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even though if he kills me, I will still trust him. Even though if he kills me, he's not even saying if he blesses me or doesn't. He said, even if he kills me, I will still trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Now, this is a posture of gratitude. The major reason why many believers and many people are full of ingratitude towards God is because they do not know what God is doing in their life. And because they are not seeing what God is doing in their life with their optic eyes, they have concluded that God is not doing anything in their life. Listen, friends, if you cannot see what God is doing in your life by faith, you will never give gratitude and thanks to the Almighty God. Gratitude to God is a show of faith. Or let me put it this way. Gratitude to God in advance is a complete display of your faith. God is able to do just what He said He would do. When you are grateful to God, that is what you are saying with your gratitude. When you are grateful to God, you are saying that God will do what He has promised He would do. He is able to do what He has said He would do. Your thanksgiving and gratitude to God is you acknowledging that God is able. Is you acknowledging in the faithfulness of the Almighty God. Please go with me to the book of Psalm 91, verse 1 to 3. Follow me as I read this very carefully. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of ten strings on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sounds. So this speaks of singing as well, using musical equipment to make melody to the Almighty God. Now, there are bases for measuring spiritual growth in a believer. There are bases for measuring spiritual growth in a believer. And I want you to understand that when you do not see any of this in your life happening, is a clear indication that you are not growing spiritually. When you do not notice this, is a clear indication that you are not growing spiritually. Number one, your experiential transformation to the image of Christ. That is the number one measurement or number one base for measuring spiritual growth. Your experiential transformation to the image of Christ. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image, into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That is to say, the more you behold, the more you're transformed. So if you are, as a believer, the level you were last year, in terms of your spiritual growth, your journey with God, your understanding with the dealings of God concerning you, if it is the same level you are still right now, it means you are not growing. It's a clear indication that you are not growing. And you must begin to pay attention to it. Actually, if you notice that your prayer life has diminished, it's a clear indication that you're not growing. You notice that your study life has diminished, that the only time you open the Bible is when you come into the church, when you're in the service, that's when you open the Bible. Spiritual things no longer entice you. It no longer gets you excited. You're just coming to church just to show your face. So it's because you can't go to the shrine, so you show up in the church. If you had the opportunity to go to the shrine, you probably would have gone. But because you know you cannot go to the shrine, you arrive in church. Now, if that is how you're running your life, it's a clear indication that your spiritual life has a problem. Now, you need to start paying attention to it, or else you are gradually, actually, you are leaving the faith, even though you are still coming to the house of the Lord. Now, number two, basis. Follow me carefully because I'll tie all of these to Thanksgiving. Number two basis, the second one is an understanding and application of the principles and the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That is to say, you coming into light and applying yourself to the light you have acquired from the mysteries and the principles of the kingdom of God by the help of the Holy Spirit. By the help of the Holy Spirit. You coming into the place of understanding. You coming into the place of light. So when a believer is not functioning at this dimension, you can safely say that they are not growing spiritually. And listen to this, friends. Lack of spiritual growth sabotages your Christian experience. A lack of spiritual growth sabotages your Christian experience. It will also stop you from ascending to the level that God has ordained for you as a believer. Also understand that your life must become a true reflection of the reality of all that Jesus died for, of the reality of all that Jesus resurrected for, of the reality of all that Jesus was glorified for. And this can only happen by access through light and understanding of the principles of the kingdom of God, of the principles, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And listen to this. Thanksgiving is one of those mysteries that when you engage with understanding, when the light of thanksgiving dawns on the inside of you, it gives you access to becoming a true reflection of the reality of redemption. It gives you access to becoming a true reflection of the reality of redemption. Understand also that every outcome you desire in your life, there is a kingdom principle to it. There is a kingdom mystery to it. And if you do not come into the mystery and principle governing the outcome you desire as a believer, you will be frustrated as a believer. That is why many believers are frustrated, because they are yet to come into the principle and the mysteries that is governing the territory in which they desire a positive or a testimony from. Now, when you do not do that, frustration sets in. And one of the things I've come to discover is many believers, they are not ignorant of what they want. Follow me carefully. They are not ignorant of what they want. Many believers are not ignorant of what they want. Now, their ignorance is in the area of the mysteries and the principles that they should engage to receiving what they want. Did you understand that? Give Jesus praise if you understand that, please. Now, many believers are not ignorant of what they want. They are fully aware of what they want. They know what they want. But their ignorance is in the area of the mysteries and the principles that they must engage to be able to receive what they want. And there are two kinds of ignorance I've seen in the Church of Jesus Christ among believers. In my little years of interacting with believers, you know, God ordained in 1999, and pastored my first church in 2000 as a branch pastor, you know, and a life church was started in 2004. How many years now? That's quite some years. If I'm working in government, I should be level 20 now. That's quite some years, man. That's some dangerous experience. Now, with all of that experience, and I've seen different kinds of believers, I've seen all kinds of believers, I've seen all, and I'm still seeing them. One thing I've come to discover is there are two kinds of ignorance you will find among believers. Number one, those who don't know the mysteries and the principles they must engage for their desired results. They know what they want, but they don't know what to engage to get what they want. Listen, they know what they want, but they are ignorant on what they must engage to receive their desired result. Number two, those who don't know how the mysteries and principles operate. Two kinds of people, two kinds of ignorance. Those who don't know and those who know, but they do not know how to engage it. They know, but they do not know how to engage it. They don't know how the mysteries and the principles operate. And those who don't even know the mysteries that they must engage. So they apply everything when they come in contact with challenges. They just do everything. They do everything because to them, you know, if I try this, it doesn't work. I try another one, it doesn't work. I try another one, it doesn't work. Somehow, one will enter by chance. You know, it's like playing lotto. So if I, you know, if I put 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, that looks like my cell number. Okay, cell phone number will work. You know, and all of those things. Now, they keep doing that. They keep doing that. They keep getting more frustrated. Why? Because the realms of the spirit does not play lotto. The realms of the spirit is governed by principles and mysteries. Can I get an amen? So, there are many mysteries and principles in the kingdom of God. And as a believer, it is your responsibility to discover which one will be useful for you in the outcome you desire for that particular area of your life. In the outcome you desire for the particular area of your life. In the outcome you desire for the particular area of your life. In the outcome you desire for the particular area of your life. Some years ago, the church was not growing. The Lord said to me, listen, the church cannot grow the way you are moving. God, what should I do? He gave me three keys. The other two are for my personal life. The other one is let the fire of prayer ascend, because there are coverings of darkness that is hindering the church from growing. And we started the prayer, all night prayer. My wife is here and a couple of brethren that probably were in that serve in that prayer. We started praying. In less than 3 months, the church exploded. It's as if something was removed that was stopping the church from growing. In less than 3 months, a church that couldn't fit into that 2x2 room, you know, that 2x2 room, all of a sudden, the place became filled. We started using outside. We'll have to put tents outside. And then by the January of 2018, when we finished the 21 days prayers, the place had exploded. We needed now a new venue. Why? principles must be engaged. If I had not gone to God to ask what is the problem, listen, the church will have shut down. How? Now, that is why you must access light, because if light does not come, the suffering will continue. I could have gone to be doing other things that I see other people do. Are you understanding me now? So, engage in the principles that are necessary. Now, as a believer, these mysteries must be engaged as you establish the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ on your life. So, why must you engage in thanksgiving? Because thanksgiving is one of the mysteries that you and I must engage in this season. So, why must you engage in thanksgiving? Why must you engage in thanksgiving? Why must you engage in thanksgiving? Listen, all mysteries and principles of the kingdom is very important, and every one of them is very necessary. But there are seasons and times you should get them into use. That is why your relationship with the Holy Spirit is very crucial, because through His guidance, He guides you into the truth that is necessary for your lifting per time. All the mysteries and the principles of the kingdom of God, they are all very important. They are all very necessary. But it is the Holy Spirit that guides you into the truth that you require per time. The Bible says, John 16:13, Jesus speaking, He said that when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He shall guide you into all truth. He shall guide you into all truth. So understand that without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you may end up with so many things that are not necessary for the outcome you desire for that season. You end up with so many things. Have you ever traveled and you packed so many things you didn't need? Some years ago, when I started traveling, the first time as a young person, I needed to fly, and I was flying. You know, I packed a towel. I took towel along, forgetting that hotels have towels. You don't need your towel. You know, my luggage was so full, I was struggling to carry them. When I arrived on my destination, I discovered a whole lot of things I do not need. A whole lot of things I do not need. Are you understand? But now when I travel like I go with only a pair of jeans and the one I'm wearing, two pairs of shoes, and about four or five t-shirts and my undergarments and everything. So by the time I travel, my bag is so light. But when I started, I carried things. I carried, you know, it was remaining for me to go with the kitchen in my house. So I'm left in so many. I arrive, the hotel has towel. So hotels give towel. I didn't know. So if you're like me, don't go with towels. Hotels will give you towels. Give Jesus praise, please. Now, if you do not engage the Holy Spirit, you will end up with so many things that you do not need. You will end up with so many things. All through the Bible, you will discover the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But if you don't engage and allow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you end up with so many things that are not necessary for the outcome you desire for that season. They are not necessary. Not that they are not good, but for that particular season, the outcome you desire, that mystery, that principle is not required. And I believe in this season, thanksgiving and gratitude to God is a mystery of the kingdom that we all, everyone, I believe that's what every one of us need in this season, to engage to receive our desired result. Many believers have devalued thanksgiving, and as a result, they have lost out of the tremendous benefits it carries. Many believers have become victims of situations and circumstances that they could have gained victory over if they had employed the mystery of thanksgiving. And all through the Bible, you will discover men and women who engaged this mystery called thanksgiving. They received more than they were thanking God for. We saw the example, we saw the scripture Brother Rami read earlier on. It was only 93 rand. But with thanksgiving, 93 rand fed 5,000 men. Listen, 93 rand can only feed one person in a time. Where even that one person, we really must check what the person will eat. Because, you know, if it's someone who really eats very well, 93 rand can't feed them. Amen. If it's a big guy who eats very well, 93 rand can't feed him. 93 rand fed 5,000 men, excluding women and children, by thanksgiving, not by warfare prayer. You see now, warfare prayer is good, but warfare prayer was not necessary for the outcome they desire at that time. If they had prayed warfare prayer, they all would have died of hunger. If they are binding demon of lack, I bind you, I bind you, I bind you. They will have finished buying, everybody will have been bound with hunger. Now, understanding what to engage, Jesus knew what to engage, because he said, I only do what I see my Father do. So he knew that the key to multiplication is thanksgiving. If there is anything that you need to multiply in your life, the key that multiplies it is thanksgiving, not warfare prayer. So he engaged in thanksgiving. Did Jesus pray warfare prayer? Yes, he did. He arrived in that town when the mad devil charged towards him. He didn't do thanksgiving. No. He said, you foul spirit, get out. Because that was what was required for the outcome he desires in that time. Celebrate the Almighty God this morning. So as a believer, we must engage the mystery of thanksgiving as we establish the victory of the cross of our life. So why must we engage in thanksgiving? Number one, very quickly, number one, we engage in thanksgiving because it is a good thing. Psalm 92 we read earlier on, verse 1 to 3 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It is good to declare your loving kindness in the morning. It is good, your faithfulness every night. It is good. On the instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. It is good. So why is thanksgiving a good thing? Because thanksgiving is consistent with the character of God. Follow me very carefully. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing. When you give thanks to the Lord, it is a good thing. And thanksgiving is consistent with the character of God. Why? Because the Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. So thanksgiving and gratitude to God is considered a good thing. And every good and perfect gift is the character of God. It comes from God. So thanksgiving is consistent with the character of God. That is why it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Number two, why must we give thanks? Number two, thanksgiving is the will of God for you. Thanksgiving is the will of God for you. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Pray consistently in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Are you looking for the will of God in your life? Then the Bible says this is the will of God. Give thanks to God. Giving thanks to God is considered as the will of God. Listen to this very carefully, friends. The adverse situation you may be in is not the will of God. But your thanksgiving and your gratitude to God in that situation is the will of God. The challenge you are experiencing now, or you may experience, is not the will of God. But your thanksgiving and your gratitude to God in that situation is the will of God. Is the will of God. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything. In everything. Not for everything. In everything. That is to say, the situation might not be favorable, but your response should be the response of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. Your response of thanksgiving and gratitude to God should not be affected by the situation. It should not be affected by the situation. Yes, I acknowledge the situation, but in the midst of me acknowledging the situation, I acknowledge that God is greater than my situation. So I give him thanks for it. And I don't just give him thanks because anyone forces me to. I give him thanks because I know that is what God wants me to do in that situation. It is the will of God. Glory to God. I know as humans, our natural response to challenges is complaining. And the truth is this, complaining never changes anything. In my little years on this planet Earth, I've come to describe that complaining never changes anything. Actually, the more you complain, the more you become frustrated. Haven't you noticed? Let's do a survey with your life, not with anybody, with your life. Check, all the time you complain about something, how do you feel? You complain some more, you get more angry. You start fighting everybody in your house. You become the lion of the tribe of your house. You tearing down things. Someone drinks water. Say, why did you drink that water like that? But I'm not drinking water now. Why must you drink water? Do you drink water in the daytime? You're just angry everywhere. And when you truly check, they didn't do anything. They just drank water. But what is troubling you is inside you. You're angry everywhere, throwing down things, tearing down everything. You go angry, you sleep, you wake up, you're still angry. So you see, it doesn't help. It actually makes people now stay away from when they see you come, your children just run. Hey, he's coming. They just hide. They sleep at 6 p.m. because of your arrival. Now that's what ingratitude does, because it creates tension in the atmosphere. But have you noticed, if you go through a situation and you are thanking God, you notice that somehow wisdom begins to flow on what to do and how to come out. So it's the will of God. It's the will of God. Thank God for that situation. Thank God rather in that situation. Your response of thanksgiving and gratitude to God shouldn't be affected by the situation. Your thanksgiving in that situation is what is the will of God. That is to say, you are acknowledging that no matter what happens in that situation, God will still harvest praise for himself. Please give Jesus praise this morning. Give him praise and say, thank you, Jesus. Number three and the final one. Thanksgiving and gratitude to God is the key to increase. I love the scripture Brother Rami read earlier. I said, this boy is not preaching my message. He's not preaching my message. I'm about to give him my notes. It's a response. Thanksgiving is the key to increase. Gratitude is the key to increase. Whatever you want to multiply, you must give thanks for it. Give God thanks for it. Whenever you want something to multiply, the key to multiplication is thanksgiving. You are believing God for 100 rand and you find 10 rand in your hands. Thank God for the 10 rand. Don't complain about the 90 rand you don't have yet. The key, that has been the key for our life, church. We have the little, we know what we are believing God. We thank God for the little that is already available. Because he that brought the little will complete the rest. So you're believing God for 1 million rands to carry out a project, and 1,000 rand, in fact, and 100 rand arrives. Don't say, what is this? No, don't do that. Take the 100 rand, lift it before the Lord. That was what the boys launched. Jesus took what was available. Do you know what it is? 5,000 men, 93 rands, it will go nowhere. But Jesus took it, lifted it before the Father, and he gave thanks. He didn't murmur, he didn't complain. The natural response will have been complaining. Probably would have gotten angry with the apostles and the 10. Why did you bring this? I said we're looking for food. You're bringing this. How would this be enough? No, he didn't do that. He lifted it before the Father. And he gave thanks. The same scripture, John chapter 6. The same incident. Let's see it in John chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. He said, now the Passover, a feast of the Jews was near. Jesus lifted up his eyes And seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that this may eat?" But this he said to test him. For he himself knew what he would do. He himself knew what he would do. Why? Because the Holy Ghost was fellowshipping with him, guidance. He himself, he knew what he would do. Listen, friends, when you are allowing the guidance of the Holy Spirit, even in adverse situation, guidance will always be available. He knew what to do. And what was it that he knew what to do? Let's see what he knew what to do. And the Bible says he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Not even, another translation says that every one of them may have a bite. That every one of them may have a bite. Like, take. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish." Listen, that's a teaching for another day. How does a small boy go about with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And 2 fish. Because that boy was already a giver. So he wasn't going to eat alone. He came with what to, probably he had friends when he was going for that crusade. He remembered all his friends that would probably be hungry in the service. A giver's attitude. Say, let me not just take for myself. Let me take for those that will be around me. 5 barley loaves for a small boy? No, that was too much. But he had a giver's mindset. A giver's mindset. I'm coming to service. I don't know what God will require me to do with my resources. So I don't just put 10 rand. I come with all the rands because God might require me to say, "Can you see? The church needs a new computer. Now that 20,000 in your bag, can you drop it?" Give Jesus praise. It's quiet in here. Glory to God. He himself knew what to do. He said, "What we have is so small. It can't even be enough. It can't even begin to scratch the surface." That was what Philip said. It's not even enough. What are they in respect to what we are looking for? That is to say, Lord, what we have is too small compared to what we are looking for. When he said that, Jesus didn't entertain his complaint. If you notice very well, the next verse, Jesus didn't entertain his complaint and his murmuring. Rather, Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place from verse 10. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, so this is what he knew he would do. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. He took the loaves, and what he did next was to give thanks. He gave thanks and distributed to the disciples to those sitting down, likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said, can you see, before they were looking for a bite, but now they had more than enough. I pray for you in this season of Thanksgiving, receive more than enough in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. Receive more than enough in the name of Jesus. They had more than enough. Thanksgiving multiplies. Jesus took what was not enough. Instead of complaining that it was not enough, he gave thanks and it became more than enough. Rather, he gave thanks. Instead of complaining, he gave thanks for what was available. Friends, when it is not enough, instead of complaining and murmuring, take what is available and give thanks to God. Take what is available. That is the mystery for multiplication. The key for multiplication is thanksgiving. The school fees for your children is not enough. The school fees is 2,000 rands and you have only 20 rand. Give thanks. Lift it before the Father. I thank you for supplying the 20 rands. And I celebrate your faithfulness. And I thank you because the 1,980 rand is on his way. The same way the 20 rand arrived. And you celebrate God. You dance with the 20 rand. You dance with the 20 rand. You give God praise. You say, children, prepare. Go to school. Your school fees will be paid by tomorrow. There are times my kids have asked me for things and I tell them, by tomorrow you will get it. And as I'm speaking, no cent in my pocket. When you shake me up and down, you do like this, do like this. Nothing will drop. But I tell them, you go ahead. Listen, by tomorrow it will arrive. By tomorrow. And out of nowhere, the other day, you know, I said to them, by tomorrow, you know, go. By the time the noon came, my Standard Bank account I normally don't use. All of a sudden, I say, oh, what is this? A seed just entered that account. And when I was collecting them, I said, what were you saying again you wanted? I could have gotten angry in the house. Why are you asking me? And God wouldn't have touched the heart of the person he touched to sow the seed. From nowhere. Ha! The money has entered. Thanksgiving. Listen, do not train yourself to be ungrateful. Don't train yourself. Don't have a posture of ingratitude. When it is not enough, instead of complaining, take what is available, give thanks. Because anywhere there is thanksgiving and gratitude to God, the grace and the anointing of multiplication will be present. Listen, anywhere there is thanksgiving and gratitude to God, the grace and anointing for multiplication will be present in that atmosphere. So whenever is not enough, give thanks. Wherever there is genuine thanks to God, the multiplier's grace is always present. Every time what you have is not enough, the way to draw God's attention to multiply it for you is through thanksgiving. You take what is available, thank God for what is available, and watch God multiply it for you. Thanksgiving authorizes you to move to the next level of supply. Do you know that thanksgiving and gratitude is not the character of Satan? Are you aware? Thanksgiving and gratitude is not the character of Satan. That is why when you engage in thanksgiving and gratitude, Satan gets mad and sad. Why? Because it is against Satan's protocol to give thanks. It is against the demonic word protocol to give thanks. Understand that thanksgiving is not just you saying you are contented. Every time you're giving thanks, you are displaying different things. Number one, you're saying I'm contented. Number two, absolute faith in God. Number three, in the realms of the spirit, you are acknowledging God as the sovereign king over your destiny. So thanksgiving is not just you saying you are contented. It is also a language of faith in the realms of the spirit. Thanksgiving is you acknowledging the sovereignty and the unlimited and the great power of God at work in your life. I close you with Jeremiah 30 verse 19. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 30. And I close you with that scripture. It says, let's read it together if you do not mind. Everyone, let's look at the screen at the count of three. One, two, three, go. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. He said, when they lifted their voice in thanksgiving, they moved God to multiply them. God multiplied them. He didn't just multiply them. He also stopped them from diminishing. He stopped their business from declining. He stopped their career from shrinking. He stopped their life from slacking off. When they gave thanks to God, he didn't just multiply them. He also stopped them from diminishing. He said, I will not allow them to diminish. They shall not diminish. Is a law in the realms of the spirit. They shall not diminish. Every thanksgiver can never diminish. Every thanksgiver shall not diminish. Every thanksgiver will not just be multiplied. Whatever diminishes others can never come near them. Why? Because God said, I will glorify them and they shall not be small. That is why I know a Life Church can never be small. This congregation can never be small. Why? Because we consistently keep thanking God. When it was one person, I give God praise. When we grew to five, plus I am my wife, minus us, it was three. Plus us, we were five. I gave God thanks. We got to 10. I gave God thanks. Listen, there was a time our volunteer team now used to be the whole congregation put together, including new people who came. But today, our volunteer team is a congregation of a church. We keep giving God thanks. Times are coming. Our volunteer will be 500 volunteers and we'll still give God thanks. Times are coming. A volunteer in this church will be 1,000. Listen, 1,000 volunteers. It will happen. Why? Because God said, they shall not be small. The more they keep thanking me, the more I multiply them, the more I stop them from diminishing, the more I glorify them, and the more they will never be small. I declare over you this morning, your days of being small are over in the name of Jesus. I say your days of being small are over in the name of Jesus. On a platform of thanksgiving, I declare this morning, multiply in the name of Jesus. Your business multiplies in the name of Jesus. Your career multiplies in the name of Jesus. You shall not diminish in the name of Jesus. Give Jesus your highest praise this morning. Every time you return with gratitude, you stop the diminishing factor from taking place in your life. That is why, listen, that is why I said to you, your tithe is not just you trying to, you are not bribing God. Your tithe is a thanksgiving. You do not understand what you are activating in the realms of the spirit when you tithe. I'm telling you, it's a tool of thanksgiving. Because your tithe is an act of thanksgiving and gratitude to God who has preserved you. You went out, you came back, you went out, you came back, you went out, you came back. And each time you bring your tithe, you're not trying to help the church. You are coming back with thanksgiving in your heart. To say, God, thank you. My life could have been worse. Thank you. I could have been out of job. Thank. I hope you know some people will have been out of job. But you still have a job. So you're returning to say thank you. Are you understanding me? Please repeat after me. Say, Father, I thank you that you did not allow me to suffer shame. You did not allow me to suffer defeat. You did not allow my business to shrink despite the hostile environment. You did not allow me to be out of job for those who have jobs. Father, I thank you for preserving my life. Father, I thank you. You did not allow my family to see shame. Father, I thank you for providing for us. Even when there was no job, you made us. We still had something to eat. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Father, with joy in my heart, I say thank you. Amen. Give Jesus praise this morning. Shall we rise on our feet?
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mokocha. Till next time, God bless.